Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Be seated. Today we're looking at the gospel reading, highlighting, focusing on that concept of the Lamb of God. Have you ever been disappointed in Jesus or wished Jesus could be a little bit more? And that's a strange question to ask, but it's an important question. I can think of several instances when people have, in one way or another, essentially said that to me. Many years ago, a young man came into my office. I'm going to call him Paul for the sake of anonymity. He wasn't a member of my church. His sister was, and I had met him at a party at her house a few days earlier. And he just showed up in my office and wanted to continue a conversation. And I was glad. I wanted to get an opportunity to find out where he was in his spiritual journey, maybe get an opportunity to share the gospel. He relayed to me that he had struggled with addiction for many years of his life, in fact, since he was 14, and that he had been out of jail and had just been released from prison a few weeks prior to the birthday party, or the party we attended, and that he had begun again using drugs. And that he felt totally hopeless and helpless with addiction. He had given his life to the Lord, remember I'm from the South, and had said the sinner's prayer so many times that he could just about say it by heart. He had been baptized a number of times. He had dedicated, rededicated, committed, and recommitted his life to the Lord, but he wanted to know, could Jesus just simply take this addiction from him? You see, what he was saying is, I want Jesus to be a little bit more. We began looking in Scripture in Romans chapter 6 as we talked about baptism and how baptism isn't something that we do for God, but it's something God does for us, that God drowns our old nature and that we are born again, a living creation in baptism, that God does that for us. And then we went to Romans 7, and I talked about Paul and how Paul shares his struggle with sin. The good that I would do, I do not do. The evil that I do not do, that I find myself doing. How does he conclude it? What a poor, miserable wretch am I? He ended with Romans 8, 1. In fact, I wanted him to remember that. I wrote it down on a piece of paper and gave it to him. For there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul, you are a new creation in Christ. Your struggle is real, and it takes hard work, effort, energy. God has given you His Spirit and has given you a community, a family that will love you and support you and be with you through this process. I felt like I had sealed the deal, like I had made a victory for Christ. And He looked as if you were pondering and pondering, and finally he spoke. He said, I appreciate everything you've said, and it's something to think about, but can't Jesus just take this addiction from me? The truth is, I'm only here because it's on the way to my dealer's house, and I'd like to tell you that when I leave here, I'm going to turn left and go home, but the reality is I'm going to turn right. And in my mind, I'm going to figure out some reason to go down that neighborhood, to stop at that house, to have a conversation with that person, and I'm going to go away with the drugs. And I'm going to get high today, because I'm a slave. I cannot do different. I begged him to let me drive him home, drive him to somewhere that he wouldn't be alone. And he refused. We prayed, cried, and he left. You see, Paul wanted Jesus to be a little bit more. And I wonder about that as I read through the gospel reading today and noticed that there's a little discrepancy, if you will, a little something out of sorts in the communication between Andrew and Peter and John the Baptist. Notice John the Baptist, when he introduces Jesus, he says he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the first thing John the Baptist says about Jesus, and it's a unique phrase that doesn't occur in the Old Testament. It certainly harkens back to the Old Testament sacrificial system, but it's unique, it's powerful, and we love that phrase. because it tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb and that His blood shed for us is our forgiveness. It's our redemption that we who were once alienated, Romans chapter 5, separated from God, now have been united with Him. And it's good news for us. But it might be puzzling news to a Jew in Jesus' day. A lamb, a sacrifice, death, defeat. That's not what they were expecting when Jesus sent the person that Andrew introduces his brother to, the Messiah. Notice Andrew says to Peter, come and see what we found. We found the Messiah. It's the same thing, right? Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God. We know that. They didn't know that. They would wrestle with the fact that Jesus was fit all the qualifications of the Messiah, but he kept talking about this death stuff. He kept talking about this sacrifice stuff. Didn't quite work for them. Maybe Andrew felt like Peter needed to know Jesus as the Messiah, the conquering king, the Lion of Judah from Genesis chapter 49, not so much the sacrificial Lamb of God from Genesis chapter 3. Felt like Peter wouldn't respond. He needed Jesus to be a little bit more. We do that in our modern culture as well. Go through a Christian bookstore down the Christian Living aisle, and it's amazing some of the titles you see, like Losing Weight Like Jesus, The Maker's Diet, Eat What Jesus Would Eat. I mean, those are real books. Raise Your Children the Jesus Way. You see, the Jews thought their problem was the Romans. And the Messiah was going to come, and he was going to destroy everything. He was going to destroy the Romans. He was going to subjugate all the people, and he was going to create this new city of God, and that there would be this wonderful time when there would be no hunger, no death, no sorrow, no grief, no pain, and they were looking forward to that. That's what they wanted, the Messiah. And today we think our problems are we put on a little bit too much weight. We don't have enough money. Our problems are we're not likable enough. And so we want Jesus to be a little bit more than just our Redeemer. We want Him to be our guru, the guy that's going to help us through our problems. So why did John the Baptist begin, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Because that's the problem. That is the problem. That is the one thing, that is the one issue that defines our life as good or bad, successful or failure, that defines our life as one of hope or one of misery. It's not our weight, it's not our bank account, it is our relationship to our Heavenly Father. And sin separates us from our God. It isolates us from each other. It robs us of the peace that was promised, that peace that surpasses all understanding. And so John declares the Lamb of God, so that we know that through faith in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have mercy, we have life, and we have hope. Listen to David's words from Psalm 31 as he describes life with sin. He says, "For my life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing, my strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away." You see, when we live in our sin, we live in physical, spiritual misery. We need the Lamb of God. And as I read and reread those words from Psalm 31, I can't help but think about Paul, the young man that came into my office. And that he wanted Jesus to be a little bit more. And his problem was he couldn't see that the problem was sin, not his addiction. Addiction's a problem, and it was something that needed to be worked through, and it was going to be difficult and challenging, but the problem begins with his understanding of God and his understanding of sin and his acceptance that sin wasn't the big issue. The big issue was his addiction, and that he really couldn't deal with sin, and he couldn't deal with his relationship with his Father until he first took care of his addiction. And that set up this cycle of defeat because he felt guilty about his addiction, and to put salve on his guilt, he had to use because he was not worthy to go to Jesus. And as he used his drugs to medicate his guilt, he felt more guilt about his use of drugs, which required more drugs. And its cycle begins. The enemy deceives us into believing the problems we face, whether they're money, whether they're emotional issues, whether they're addictions, whatever they might be, the enemy deceives us into believing that that's the problem, and John reminds us the problem is sin. Thanks be to God, the solution is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. I'd love to say that that story with Paul had a good ending, but it didn't. A few weeks after our conversation, I got a call from his sister that he was found dead in a hotel room of a drug overdose. And I can tell you, I felt tremendously guilty. I went over and over again that conversation. What did I miss? What could I have done differently? What could I have spoken? What actions could I have done? I don't know what happened between Paul and the Lord in those final hours of his life. But I do know that they found in his pocket that piece of paper I'd given him that had Romans 8:1 written on it. And the sister said, I want to show you something we found with him, and maybe you can help me understand it. And she showed me the paper, and it was worn. And I talked about our conversation, and in that moment, God's mercy ministered to me and ministered to the family, because we were all feeling guilt. We were all feeling as if we failed. We needed to know the mercy of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as several hundred people gathered for his funeral service, many of them not members of my church, in fact, most of them, many of them drug users or people who had been in the drug culture or had other issues and had come in contact with people in the drug world, they didn't need to hear that everything was okay. They didn't need to hear stories that everybody, when they go to heaven, they get wings and everything is okay and that this is not such a big deal. What they needed to hear was the message about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that the consequence of sin is death, but the free gift of eternal life is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's what I want you to do. If you're struggling with an addiction, if you're struggling with sin, a particular sin, and it's beating you down, and all you can see is that problem in front of you, hold fast to the promise of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As you receive Christ's body and blood today, broken and shed for you, know that you're receiving the blood, the body of the Lamb of God, and that his sin, his sacrifice has taken away your sin. And as important as you go about daily life and you see people who are struggling and maybe look like they're beaten down by life, know what to say? Tell them about the Lamb of God, because that's what they need to hear most important of all, that the Lamb of God has taken away the sins. In Jesus' name, amen.